Hello, and welcome back to our Monday night Bible study. We are continuing our look into Colossians. This will be the last one for this series. We're going to start something new next week. I hope that everyone has had an opportunity to forgive me for last week's lesson. I hope that my wife has had an opportunity to forgive me for last week's lesson. But since I'm still alive, it's got to mean something, right? We're gonna wrap up Colossians this week. This is hopefully not going to be as long as my wrap up of David. I understand that I'm the one in control of where who gets all the words that I'm saying. So, and when I get to stop talking, this will be a short one. This will be a little break from last week, and hopefully the next series of lessons should be something that's a little less controversial than we were. Maybe not. Well, I can pretty much find controversy anywhere. So here we go. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Again, We've just finished up the couplets on submission and love. And now Paul talks about devoting ourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. And we're back to the relationship building that Paul has been talking about. When we devote ourselves to a life of prayer and building relationship with God, we can move beyond the basics of don't do this and don't do that, whatever, and move to a place of positive relationship. Again, this is not saying that you just get to do the things that God has prohibited, right? Paul is not saying that once, if you pray enough, that it is okay to commit sin. Sin is still sin. The things that God said are wrong are still wrong, right? There are still rules that we have to follow. You don't get to walk into your boss's office every day and say, "Hey, boss, I deserve a bonus today, and I'm a great employee because today I didn't embezzle money from the company. Today I'm not a felon, therefore you should praise me." Right? If you come home to your wife too many days in a row bragging about the fact that you didn't commit adultery today, eventually she's going to have some questions. You have to move beyond the don'ts. You have to move beyond. Those things should become second nature. There should not be a question whether or not you are going to fall into these traps. You should just not do those things. And then you should move to a place where you are positively doing things that please God. Right? We're looking for ways that we can show love, that we can show kindness, that we can show compassion, that we can show care, that we can show concern for other people. It's about a positive action relationship, an active prayer, an alert mind, a thankful prayer, a prayer that focuses on the goodness of God and the needs of others. It's God, show me, God, you are good. Show me how I can demonstrate your goodness and your love to those around me. It is what Jesus says on these things, hang all the law and the apostles. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Devote yourself entirely unto him and love your neighbor as yourself. When we do these things, all of the other don'ts, kindergarten stuff, all the dress code, all the stuff that we tend to focus on, like, man, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do these other things. All of that stuff is just, that's dead in the first grade reader stuff. We got to move beyond that stuff. Don't do it. Move beyond it and step into a place where we are actively seeking ways and seeking things that please God. How can I help? How can I make a difference? How can I reach? Who can I talk to? Whose life can I impact today for and with the gospel of Jesus Christ? What can I do today to make somebody else's life better? That's That's our relationship. How can I help? How can I reach? How can I show my neighbor the love of God? Pray for us too. That God will give us, this is going to be very spaced out because I've got one scripture that's really long and y'all are going to be very excited because we're just going to go through a bunch of verses at one time. So hang tight. Pray for us too that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That's why I'm here in chains. Paul asks prayer for himself and the ones that are with him and for the ones that are with him. Sorry. But he does not ask for prayer to be released from prison. He does not ask for prayer to be blessed. He does not ask for prayer to have his whole situation turn around. He does not ask for prayer to become the head and not the tail. He does not ask for prayer for the Lord to enlarge his territory. He doesn't ask for any of those things. What he says is, while I'm here, while I'm in prison, while I'm in this situation, while it's dirty and smelly and nasty and gross and uncomfortable and I'm not eating good and I'm sick and I don't feel good and I'm hurting and things are going wrong in my life, pray for me that I will have the opportunity here to talk to others about the gospel. Look, I know me, right? If I was there, I would spend most of my time trying to figure out how the Lord was going to turn my whole situation around and make this up to me. Because that's what a lot of our theology is based on, is how God is going to make it up to me because he put me in a bad situation, right? God, I had to go through a trial, and so God's going to make it up to me by giving me a new Mercedes. I had to go through a trial, so God's going to make it up to me by letting me win a lottery. I had to go through a trial, so God's going to make it up to me, right? God does not owe me. God does not owe me anything. If I'm having a problem here, God loves me enough to let me go through things here because he understands that I've got to get some stuff out of my heart because I need to go to heaven and I need to be happy there, right? God does not necessarily want greater things for me here. God wants greater things for me there. I have talked about this a lot and I will continue to talk about this. God wants me to be happy in heaven. God wants me to have eternal joy and eternal peace and eternal gladness and eternal happiness. God wants me to have communion and relationship with him in heaven. And if I have to be miserable here to have that there, then God is going to allow me to be miserable here. Salvation is the ultimate goal. Salvation is the reason for the cross. Salvation is the reason for the blood. Salvation is the reason for the sacrifice, not temporal happiness, not goods here, not things here. That's not what the cross is about. If we cheapen the cross and the sacrifice of Calvary to fancy cars, fine clothes, and full bank accounts, we have missed it. We don't understand the first thing about the love of God. God will bless us. God will bless his people. God will do good things for his people. I understand that. I enjoy the blessings of God. I am living the blessings of God. I'm thankful for everything that God has given me. But the point of this is to reach heaven, not to be pleased and happy with myself here. That's not what this life is for. This life is for me to develop a relationship with God that allows me to walk with him in eternity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Look, this seems to be a recurring theme in the life of Paul and the writing of Paul. And it's a thing that I talk about a lot. Don't be a jerk. Treat others well. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And note that it does not say that you will have the right response from everyone. It says that it is my responsibility to give the right response to everyone. Some people are going to be mean, and they're going to be mad, and they're going to be jerks, regardless of how well you treat them. You cannot please those people. You cannot make those people happy. It is not your job to please those people. It is not your job to make those people happy. It is your job to love those people and respond correctly to them every time you respond. That's their reaction is on them and not on you. But also, you don't get to treat them poorly because you don't think they responded to your kindness correctly the last time. You don't get to be a jerk because you don't think that they did the right thing the last time you tried to be nice to them. That's also not what Paul is saying. I don't get to decide how I respond to people based on their reactions to me. I have to be kind, loving, gentle, good, peaceable all the time to them. Regardless of how they respond, I still have to treat them the way I want them to treat me. And in fact, when they respond poorly, I should treat them more like I want them to respond to me. Yeah, I really thought this one wouldn't be as controversial, but I was wrong. Well, once we get to the goodbyes, it'll get better. I have to be kind, and I have to be loving, and I have to be that in all circumstances and at all times. And now we're going to get to the long one. Y'all thought I wasn't going to get through all this in 25 minutes or so, but I am, probably. Tychius will give you, I'm going to look over on this side because that's where it is, and I have to read it all. I didn't memorize it. I tried to quote things a couple of weeks ago and was embarrassed, and my nieces mocked me. Tychius will give you a full report about how I'm getting along. He's a beloved brother and a faithful helper who serves me with the Lord's work. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we're doing and to encourage you. I'm also sending Onesimus, a beloved and faithful brother, one of your own people. He and Tychius will tell you everything that's happening here. Might be Tychius. I don't know. Aristarchus, who's in prison with me, sends his greetings, and so does Mark, Barnabas's cousin. As you were instructed before, make Mark welcome if he comes your way. Jesus, the one we call Justice, also sends his greetings. These are the only Jewish believers among my co-workers. They're working with me here for the kingdom of God, and what a comfort they've been. Epaphras, a member of your own fellowship and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. He always prays earnestly for you, asking God to make you strong and perfect, fully confident that you're following the whole will of God. I can assure you that he prays hard for you and also for the believers in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved doctor, sends his greetings, and so does Demas. So here we have a list. This is actually an interesting list of laborers and people that are working alongside Paul. From what we've already seen and what we now know when you look at the entire canon of Paul's scriptures, you see some of these names and you have seen them in other places. For example, we have an escaped slave in Onesimus. He is basically the subject of the book of Philemon. Paul writes to Philemon, who was the master of Onesimus when Onesimus left him. At some point, Onesimus becomes converted to Christianity, and Paul tells him, you know, we talked about the slaves and master relationship earlier, and Paul tells him, look, you got to go back. You have done wrong. You have cheated your master Philemon, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to write a letter to him telling him to treat you well and to accept you back, but you've got to go back and you've got to fulfill your duties and your obligations. you take this letter back with you, buddy. And so almost the entire book of Philemon is dealing with that subject. We have Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, who was the cause of the split between Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas takes Mark, his younger cousin, and goes to, cousin or nephew, depending, and goes with Paul on his first missionary journey. Well, at some point, Mark leaves them and goes back home because he couldn't handle the hardship. And Paul holds a grudge. Paul's like, I'm not taking him next time. And Barnabas says, we need to take him. And Paul says, no, I'm not. And so Barnabas stays where he is, and Paul takes Silas, and they go, and you get that Paul and Silas were in the jail and all that stuff. I don't know if Paul just disliked him, if Paul was holding a grudge, if Paul was saying, I'll never have anything to do with that kid again, or if Paul was just saying he's not mature enough yet to go with us. But regardless, Mark has become a great help to Paul despite this rejection that he's been given. We talked of Epaphras in the first lesson, and he's probably the one that had founded the church at Colossae. he was the reason for the letter being written. He comes to Paul and says, look, these are some of the struggles and the problems that we're having in our church. And I need you to, I would like for you to write a letter or an epistle and help explain some of these things, help explain the Godhead, help explain our belief on the Godhead, help explain the incarnation of Jesus Christ, help the fact that Jesus is God. We have some people that are teaching that he's not God. We have some people that are teaching that you have to turn aside from all earthly things and that nothing, all material things are evil. We have some other people teaching that you can't sin at all once you've known the grace of God. And so Paul writes this letter in response to these things and this Epaphras is talking about. He's called in Philemon, which the book that was written, we talked about it, was a book that was written shortly after this. Onesimus carries it. In Philemon, Epaphras is called a fellow prisoner. So probably the reason that Epaphras doesn't bring this letter back to his church is because he has been arrested and he is actually in prison with Paul. And then we get to verse 14, where it says, Luke, the beloved doctor, sends his greeting, and so does Demas. So later, it is interesting that these two are grouped together because later they are known for such very different things. Luke writes the Gospel of Luke. Luke writes the book of Acts and tells the story of the church. Luke is the one that tells us the story from the day of Pentecost. Luke is the one that tells us about the conversion of Paul. Luke is the one that tells us about the Gentiles being saved. Luke is the one that tells us about the revival in Samaria. Luke is the one that tells us about shipwrecks and about the witness and about Paul being in Rome and him being in Athens. And Luke is the one that we know so much about what has happened in the church because of the work of Luke and because of the things that this great man has done. And Demas, we know him because he forsakes Paul because he has a love for the world that he's in. 2 Timothy 4:10 says, Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. And so you wonder about the potential that was wasted in Demas. You wonder about what all of these things that he had seen. He endured the hardships that Paul did. He went through the things that Paul went through, as did Luke. One of them goes on to write a gospel and the history of the church, and the other of them fades away into obscurity because one of them focused on here and one of them focused on there. I talked about it this week. I've talked about it last week. I talked about it the week before. I talk about it a lot. When our focus can shift, when we can lift our eyes, when we can shift from here to there, we can make an eternity's worth of difference. We start making eternal decisions. When our focus is here, we start making decisions based on what is best for me now and what is best for me here. Please give our greetings to our brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church that meets in her house. After you've read this letter, pass it on to the church at Laodicea so that they can read it too. And you should read the letter that I wrote to them. So greet the folk at other churches. Hang out with them. Visit with them. Have fellowship with people from other churches. Love one another. Love one another. And send this letter to them. So, and get the letter that I sent to them and y'all read it. So this lets us know that the letters of Paul, the epistles of Paul, are not just specifically for the people that they're written to, but therefore all of the churches, therefore all of us. And we can apply the principles from this letter, all of them, even the ones we don't like, to all of our lives. We don't get to pick and choose, well, I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to obey this thing, I'm not going to obey that thing. Because, well, that was just written to somebody. That was written to somebody 2,000 years ago, and so I don't need to obey that one. But this one I'm really going to stick with, and I'm really going to go with this. We do have to obey the principles and the precepts throughout all of Scripture. And say to Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. Look, this, honestly, probably before I start, I think before I started doing this study, I've never really looked at this particular scripture. This is a strange scripture that Paul would specifically tell one person, carry out the ministry that the Lord gave you. Do the thing that God called you to do. He didn't say this to anybody else. And so I have no idea why Archippus seems to have been reluctant to do the thing and to work the ministry that God had called him to do. But I would guess, if I had to guess, it is because he either thought the thing that he was called to do was above him or beneath him. We're rarely called to do exactly the thing that we are suited to do. Rarely does God call somebody and you say, you know what, I can do exactly that without any help. Most of the time when God calls us to do a thing, it is either so far beyond us that we realize that there is no way that we'll ever reach that goal, or we feel like it is so far beneath us that we're too important to do it. Sometimes God calls us to work miracles. Sometimes God calls us to pray fire down from heaven, Elijah. Sometimes God calls us to raise the dead. Sometimes God calls us to open the blinded eyes. Sometimes God calls us to fill a pulpit. Sometimes God calls us to teach a Bible study. Sometimes God calls us to pray people through to the glorious baptism of the Holy Ghost. And sometimes God calls us to clean toilets and pick up trash in a parking lot and dig ditches and stain fences and cut brush lines. Sometimes God calls us to do things that we don't want to do. Sometimes God calls us to do things that are uncomfortable for us. Sometimes God calls us to set our pride and our arrogance aside for a little while and just be a servant, which is what we are all called to be. See, I was not going to be, this one was not going to be controversial at all. This one was going to be easy. We're going to skate into the next one, right? He says, carry out the ministry that the Lord gave you. He says to all of us, carry out the ministry that the Lord gave you, whether that be individually on any day, if it's a great thing or if it's a small thing. If you're going in to preach a camp meeting, pick up the tissue on the floor on your way in. Be the servant. Do the work. Do the ministry. Do the things that God has called you to do. Here's my greeting in my own handwriting. Paul. Paul probably had bad eyesight, so he signed the letter himself, but he dictated it to other people. Remember my chains. May God's grace be with you. A simple goodbye. Pray for me and walk in the grace of God. And that, 22 minutes into our last one, that is my prayer, and that's my, you know what, that's a pretty good benediction. Pray for me and walk in the grace of God. That's a lot better than mine. But you know what? It is what it is. Next week we're gonna have something different. It's gonna be new and exciting, and there may be maps and there may be graphics. It's gonna be thrilling or something. I love you. God loves you. And thank you for sticking with me all the way through the book of Colossians, and I will talk to you next week. Okay.